This is Practically Kinky, a panel podcast devoted to practical discussions about kink, how to enjoy it to the full, blend it with your vanilla life, and generally make the whole shebang work.
Welcome to Practically Kinky episode 57, setting a scene mummification.
Woohoo!
Don't forget we have a penis dance at the end. Maybe you should do the penis dance now because you won't feel like it at the end.
That's caring. That's an extremely caring sense. That was very considerate.
Oh, shut up. You know the rules.
Ow.
There we go. Yay!
So, is that the end of my involvement today?
No, that's not the end of your involvement today.
That's the end of the podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening.
This is Alpha Dom, and I'm here with Mistress Hilda and Beta Boy.
Hello.
Hi.
And as promised, we decided we were going to try to do some kind of setting the scene every couple podcasts, because that's usually a lot of questions we get of how do I get started, what do I do, etc.
We do.
Right.
Especially people who are new starting out. And
yeah.
They're keen to try something, but they want to know where to begin.
Yeah, right. And I'm terrible at setting scenes. Like, I'm horrible at it, so.
I don't know about that. So. I think you're both very good at it in your own ways.
So today we're going to talk about mummification, which is somehow wrapping a person up in some kind of material, and we're going to go through safety and some other considerations, and then we are going to mummify Beta Boy.
Yay!
And that probably won't sound all that exciting.
Other than you hear
podcast.
Yeah.
It would sound like wrapping an extremely large plate of leftover Thanksgiving meal, except the meal will squeak occasionally.
Yes, and it's live meal.
Right. I hope.
So let's talk about safety first. The first thing that you want to do is talk with the person that you are going to be mummifying and make sure that you have mutual consent.
Very important.
Very important. Check with them on their health, how they're feeling for the day. Do they have any issues that you need to be aware of?
Well, why don't you do that with me then?
So, Beta Boy.
Yes.
Today I'd like to do mummification on
you. Well, I'm out.
You have a hangnail.
Where's the paddle?
Alright, I consent to this activity.
How are you feeling?
A little bit full after breakfast.
Okay, do you have any aches and pains? I know you've been working out again.
I have slightly crampy calves because I've been getting back into jogging, but I have nothing where I'm spontaneously cramping up.
Correct.
And
okay,
I am
good.
Hydrated.
Okay, hydrated. And you went to the restroom?
Yes. I did, yes.
So no tippy-toe mummification today because that would cause cramping in your calves.
Probably.
So that would be something that would be important for people to understand a little bit about anatomy as well.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
And any problems with diabetes or circulation issues?
No, I'm all good on that.
Okay. All right. So I think we're set on that. And did you have anything that you don't want done to you in mummification?
I'm not feeling prepared for any kind of breath deprivation.
Okay, that's good to know.
Right. And I should say, like, if we were really doing something like that would probably be one of my concerns in a real situation.
Yes.
However, it's not a hard limit for me so long as it's done in a very controlled, safe way.
Correct.
Yes. But today, I'm not feeling that.
Good to know.
Great. So before you get started, your sub should be very hydrated because they're going to sweat a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, especially if you're talking saran wrap, right?
Right.
Do you think that applies if you're using another method, like
cloth bandaging? Obviously, will be you'll have both sensations. You'll be hot once you're wrapped, and then if you sweat, then you'll start to get some chill because it'll be absorbed into the fabric.
Right.
So you need to keep that in mind.
Whereas the saran wrap, you don't really have the
just
chill.
Just sweat.
You just get
completely.
Hot.
Right.
Yeah. You never really lose. Oh, presumably if you're in a really cold room, you could.
Well, yes, your hands and feet or whatever's available will get chilly.
Okay.
All right, and you need to have a pair of safety scissors on hand. Safety scissors are not normal scissors that you use with the points. You mm-hmm. can get a pair at a pharmacy or a medical supply store, and they have rounded ends. Mm-hmm. So that if you have an emergency and you need to get the sub out of the plastic wrap or bandages or whatever you're using, you can quickly slice them off without slicing the sub up.
Right.
Which is important.
They also have safety knives, don't they?
Yeah, so that we're, you're holding it up like they can see
yes,
it.
Yes, I'm
it's
can
a podcast, honey. Yes.
I said safety knife.
It's used by emergency staff to cut through seatbelts, too, isn't
it? Seatbelts, yeah. So you can get seatbelt cutters at auto stores. You might be able to get them at Walmart. Basically, it's just to quickly slice off a seatbelt, and yes. that would also work. They tend to have a tiny rounded point, which I don't think would harm the sub if something happened, but the blade itself is protected, so it wouldn't ever touch the sub.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I think that for mummification, or for any kink play really, it's always good to have an understanding of anatomy. Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand anatomy, Google is your friend.
Yeah, right. Makes sense.
So, you know, look up where pressure points are. Be aware of where things are, like the lungs, the kidneys, etc., so that you just have a general idea of anatomy and pressure points.
And especially because I guess this is quite a significant immobilization. Like, once you're mummified, you really can't do a whole lot of anything. So there's a lot of trust required.
Absolutely.
Because certainly if there's any impact play involved, the sub is not going to be able to do much of anything to protect themselves
right.
from getting hit where they don't want to get hit.
Major trust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then make sure that the room is cool enough, or I guess the right temperature for your play. Now, it'll be cool. It should be a little cooler when you start.
Yeah.
And the sub standing there naked and not really doing anything, it's right. going to feel a little cool. But depending on the material you're using, the sub can get quite hot, as we talked about.
Yep.
So you want to make sure that they don't overheat too much. So.
Very true.
Okay, then the next thing I have is, if you're going to secure the sub's mouth in this process, either via a gag or something else, work out a method that they can indicate if they're in distress.
So that could be a sound.
They obviously can't raise their arm or mm-hmm. something else, but they need to either be able to do a sound or something that indicates that they're in distress. So you need to work that out. Now, in the case of today, we're not going to put a gag in your mouth.
Right.
But if we were, what would we use?
Well, I personal favorite of mine is panties. I like to put panties in, especially dirty ones are preferable because even more humiliating.
I love that you use such a posh English accent when you talk about panties.
Dirty ones
are preferable, obviously.
It's amigas,
you sound like Mary Poppins.
Yes, well, I have to make it sound appealing.
Mary Poppins at night. Yeah. After the doors are closed.
Okay, someone needs to write some fan fiction about Mary Poppins at night.
It's probably been done. So you can have them wiggle yep. their head around, or if the feet aren't completely encased, if the feet are kind of loose, they could wiggle their feet around rapidly, or... but you need to come up with a method. If they could roll, you could do that.
Right.
Or rocking. Something. Or, yeah.
Now, have you, either of you, ever mummified the head and created an opening for breathing, or have you always stopped at the neck?
I always stop at the neck. I think for me personally, one, my subs never panic as much.
Yeah.
So the scene doesn't get broken as easily, I find, if it's not a head mummification as well.
Mm-hmm.
It will be encased and there will be deprivation. It just won't be wrapped in saran wrap. Neck, never wrap the neck in saran wrap. That is a big safety note.
Or anything, really.
Right.
The neck should not be wrapped.
Right.
So we're talking about a risk of sort of asphyxiation or something like that.
Yeah, you don't want that pressure on the larynx. You don't want...
Or the carotid or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I think that's a good one, because I think a lot of people who haven't seen this before probably initially had the image of
everything.
Someone... Right, and obviously that is done, but
right.
This is not what we're talking about today.
And we'll talk about different ways to mummify somebody
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you can wrap the head in plastic, not the neck, but you can wrap the head in plastic, but you'd need to obviously cut holes in the nose and the mouth.
The bits right. that take oxygen in.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but we're not going to do that. Now, the next item that I have on safety, Mistress Hilda and I disagree on, and that's fine, because not everybody's going to agree with everything that we see
right.
here anyways, but
yeah.
I put, don't leave them alone, and I personally don't feel comfortable. I mean, I would feel comfortable with walking out of the room and back in,
right.
but I wouldn't feel comfortable leaving them for a long time, because I think... particularly if you're using plastic wrap, things can get heated very quickly and distress could happen very quickly. Now, what I might do is, for example, we're in our bedroom right now and the bathroom is around the corner right here, but with an open door.
Uh-huh.
I'd go in there and peek around. Or I have been known to pull a chair in and they don't know if I'm there or not.
That's part of what I do too.
Yeah.
To okay. me, it's the mind fuck of thinking I'm gone.
Right.
And I don't always leave. I will leave though, but it really depends on one, how they're mummified and who I'm with.
Yeah, because surely this would apply much more in a case where you were doing sensory deprivation, right?
Like, absolutely.
Because one thing, we haven't mentioned this yet, I hope I'm not jumping the gun, but putting earphones in
yeah.
with white noise so that the person
yeah. right.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
coming.
Right, okay.
Oh,
sorry.
You jump the
if
shark.
If it's any consolation, soon I won't be able to jump.
You jump the shark and now it's done.
Yeah, but I don't have yeah. a problem leaving for a few minutes
right.
based on those parameters.
And, I mean, I would imagine that some of this might depend on who you're with.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. It depends on who I'm with and how
many times you've done it before.
Of course. The trust level is, I don't leave in any situation
yeah.
where trust has not been well established.
And I think maybe knowing in advance might be good. Like with both of you, I don't really have the need to clarify this because I know how you both like to do it. But if you were with someone new, you might want to have a conversation before the scene about how comfortable both parties are with the idea of not
right.
being in the same room during.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Communication.
Yep.
Now, this last safety thing that I have, I think, really shouldn't have to be said, but I always do end up saying it. And don't mix mummification or any kink, really, with drugs.
Yeah.
And I would recommend against mixing with alcohol either.
Right. Right.
There was a case in the UK where a man was wrapped in plastic wrap and died. And they did say that he had ketamine and meth in his system, which did not help. Your metabolism is all thrown off.
Right.
Right.
And that's not good, not to mention that your judgment isn't exactly perfect.
Yeah, he's
so,
probably like ragingly, feverishly hot anyway,
yeah.
and then sort of unable to get rid of the heat.
Yeah.
Oof, it's horrifying.
So, Mrs. Hilda, did you have any other safety tips?
I think just bottom line, communicate.
Yeah.
And communicate as you're going along, too. Just
right.
because it's a scene doesn't mean you can't check in with
right.
your subby. How are they doing?
Yeah.
Especially when you're starting out.
Absolutely.
I do have one safety thing to
uh-huh.
mention, if that's all
right.
Just from experience, like, you can't overstate how immobilized you are once you're mummified, and usually it's done while you're standing up. At that point, if I were to topple over,
oh, right. yes.
there's really nothing I could do to stop myself from toppling over, and there's nothing I could do to catch myself when I fell. So
mm-hmm.
you're actually quite vulnerable at that point to really hurting yourself if you fell the wrong way.
Absolutely.
So
good point.
You need a lot of, you actually probably need some degree of strength or at least a knowledge of how to get the person on the bed,
mm-hmm.
if you're doing it on a bed or wherever,
yeah.
before you begin, so that you're not just standing there with 160 pounds minimum of human,
mm-hmm.
not knowing how to get this rigid object down without damaging.
Yes, and that person, the mummified person, could actually fall on you as well. And if you're an otter,
sure.
don't have strength to push that person off,
yeah,
you could be it could be a big problem for you. So I know I
there's
like to make sure the bed is right there.
Absolutely. So there's almost nothing I could do to control where my weight goes.
Exactly.
Once
I and I don't think when you're wrapped I could physically lower you to the floor. That would be impossible for me. Because remember, the person that's wrapped can't bend. It's not like they can bend their knees to help you.
And there's no handy carrying handles or anything. Well, you'd probably do that, but so you need to have a system. It's definitely a bed is a good way to go if you're starting out, because it's not, you could just push it over.
I wouldn't even use like a table unless it was super sturdy and not rolling or couldn't move, because when you put the person against it, it's gonna move if it's not sturdy. So all right, well, let's talk about different materials that you could use. So today we're going to use plastic wrap. It comes in a big giant roll. It's often used for wrapping boxes for shipping or moving.
Right. Or in kitchens, they need the large commercial kitchens.
This is not a regular sized thing of saran wrap we're talking about.
Not from a grocery store. You need to get it from a home improvement store or bulk purchase large store.
like the roll when you buy it, is it's got to be like a hand span width. It's very thick.
Yes.
And it's actually, the length of it is a little bit more than regular saran wrap too.
So you could use plastic wrap, which is really a cost-effective, quick, easy way to do this. You can also use duct tape. Now, the thing with duct tape is don't put it directly on the skin.
Yes.
Duct tape on the skin is not good.
Right. You need to go over a layer of something.
Yeah, so
an old t-shirt and an old pair of
You could put plastic wrap underneath it. You could put clothing underneath it, old piece of fabric underneath it, whatever.
I would say something that can easily be cut.
Yeah.
If there's an emergency situation with using duct tape
as
well.
Yeah.
You need to be able to, don't use a high-end product underneath your duct tape because it might need to be cut off.
You use is trash.
The other thing I would add in terms of materials is if you use those two together, it's a very good combination. So like you wrap someone in plastic, but then you could use duct tape just at key points to add a certain extra level of rigidity, right? Like I'm just miming it now, but if my hand's down by my side, if there was a strip around where my wrists are, there would be even less movement.
Right. Yeah. Ironically, that's what seamstresses do to make a body form for themselves for fitting clothing.
Oh, so there you go. So you try and test it.
And one thing that's really cool about duct tape, actually, is I've seen people duct taped up to walls or doors.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and on tables.
Yeah, so once you wrap them in something that's safe, you could actually duct tape them to... Now, I wouldn't actually duct tape them to a nice wall. I'd have some kind of, you know, I don't know if you could put up something.
A faux
wall or
wall
or
something that's a door
or something.
Put a mattress in front of them so if you fall down, you just go... That sounds fun, actually.
Yeah.
I have to try that sometime.
So that's fun, but that would take more than one person to get the person. Yeah, you're not going to lift the person up to the wall.
No.
Right.
Unless you have them stand on a chair.
Yeah,
you just need to get the safety shit down.
Of course. That's not a one-person job.
No, it sounds fun, though.
The next thing you could use are called standing bandages, and those are like horse bandages. So you can get them at, like, animal supply stores, and they're like ace bandages, but they're a lot bigger.
It's like webbing.
Yeah, they're webbed, and they're a little bit flexible, but not flexible enough that...
Right.
It wouldn't be a good product. And I think those could be fairly cost effective, more expensive than plastic wrap, but...
It's reusable though, right?
Yes, but washable and reusable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there are things called mummification wraps that are basically... I'm not exactly how to describe them, but I've seen leather ones. I've also seen latex ones. Latex ones would be really super hot. But they basically look like a body bag, but a very tight body bag that's shaped towards your body, and you can put the person in that and zip them up.
Do you suck the air out of those ones?
They have ones you can vacuum seal, But they have ones that you don't vacuum seal, too.
I have seen ones that are, like, actually, they're... they're like, they're mattress size, they're like rectangular, and you get in,
and
you suck your,
those have to be expensive.
They're very expensive.
Yeah, that stuff's fairly expensive. Right. I did many, many years ago played with a man in Portland who had custom made one of those body bags. I'm sure it cost many hundreds of dollars.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it was cool.
Yeah.
But also, you could use burlap fabric.
Any kind of fabric. Sometimes I like to use a blanket.
Old blanket.
An old blanket and swaddle like you would a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And tuck over in a tight fit so that the openings are at the back.
Very cost effective.
Yeah, very cost effective. Yeah. Right. Something you have around the house.
Exactly.
Sheets work great. Right. Sheets work wonderful.
Yeah.
Right. You have those in your closet.
Right. Absolutely.
Something else that might be useful too is some people have straight jackets. You can use that in conjunction also.
No doubt, that I can see that working really well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it keeps your limbs kind of controlled, so it's all protected and whatnot.
All right, so before you get started, first of all, make sure your sub has gone to the bathroom because this isn't a quick 5-minute process. So, make sure that they've gone to the bathroom first. If the person's knees and ankles touch when their legs are together, put some padding between them so that they're not rubbing together. When you're done, have some towels available in advance so that your sub's going to be very sweaty and hot.
Right.
And we'll need to towel down.
Some water.
Yeah, have some water or Gatorade or some other kind of drink available with a straw in case the person really needs to hydrate quickly. That's just some prep stuff. So now we're at the point of doing it, as I call it. All right, so we're going to talk about how we're going to start. And then we're going to decide what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get on with it here. So,
okay.
So there's like multiple ways you can actually mummify somebody with saran wrap.
Right.
Let's just say we're doing saran wrap. Plastic wrap, let's just be clear about that.
Right.
You need to decide ahead of time, I think, with your submissive or whoever you're working with as to what their comfort levels are with varying ways to plastic wrap their body. Okay. You can have hands down by your side and feet together.
Yep.
You can have your arms out to the side and somehow made them rigid.
Right.
And particularly overhead. You can saran wrap overhead. Now, for me, I would never saran wrap with arms over head starting from the arms holding up. I would start from the bottom up because the longer your arms are up, the less time you have to be mummified.
Totally
the circulation
sense.
Will be gone.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's things that you need to address ahead of time. So in this today, I don't think we're going to do arms over head because that'll defeat the purpose. I'm going to just start from the shoulders down.
Okay.
Yeah, so what I think might work best is that Mistress Hilda is going to start the wrapping. Mm-hmm. I will assist.
Yes.
But I'll also kind of talk through it because it's so hard to wrap and talk through it.
What will I be doing?
Oh, I just standing there looking pretty.
Yes.
I will have you stand closer to the bed, though.
Sure.
I want you'll face
here.
The camera. I mean, the
face
the camera.
Microphone.
Face the camera.
And then, so all I need to do is just tip you backwards when we're ready.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
If it's easier, I can stand.
So we have a big roll of plastic wrap here.
Would it help if I move this further away so that you? Yes. I'm going to move you, listener.
Audience, we're going to move you just slightly.
There you go.
There you go. No. That wasn't so painful.
Right.
All right. So we have a big roll of plastic wrap here, and Mistress Hilda is starting, and I'm going to assist here. It does actually help if they're down in one person.
Yeah.
It can be done with one, though.
So
you're
starting at the chest, right below the neck.
And we're doing arms down.
Arms down next to the body and just wrapping around. We're catching the shoulders, but again, not the neck. When we get to the front, we go down so that the neck isn't done.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's nice and tight.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mistress Hilda's got a
system.
I'm gonna get dizzy pretty soon. I'm gonna make the subby start turning
so
pretty soon.
So she's basically just wrapping down.
On a slight angle, probably upwards like 10 degrees.
Yeah.
Just so it doesn't overlap itself constantly.
And I noticed that you've been very strategic about the direction of the roll.
Yes.
You're making it so that it's easy to unravel because it's the bit that unravels is closest to me.
Yes.
So you can kind of just keep... You're just basically walking round and round me at this point.
Yes, but at some point, I'm actually getting dizzy now, so you can start spinning.
All right, so I'm now spinning.
So now Beta Boy is spinning around so Mistress Hilda doesn't have to keep going around, and she's down to the legs so that it's getting tighter and tighter.
Yeah,
stick your legs together.
Drop. Face now.
Face me now. Now stop.
Okay.
Keep going to the turn.
All right.
Keep going. Back up a bit. There we go. Now... I'm at the knees, so I'm going to start going around again and tucking as I go. I'm going to turn it.
Just be creative with it.
Yeah.
It takes a couple of times of doing it, I think, to learn how to get it.
And it feels like, especially if you do like being immobilized, it feels amazing once it gets down to your legs because you do start to feel quite helpless. And I'm also starting to get warm.
Yes, I feel
so,
you're warm.
I feel very... Saran wrapped right now. I feel like a breakfast sausage.
Burrito.
I feel like a breakfast burrito.
California burrito.
Right.
Now, one other supply you might want to have handy is just a regular pair of scissors to cut the wrap when you're done. It doesn't tear easily. But make sure that you don't put them by your safety scissors and mistakenly grab the wrong thing in an emergency.
Good point.
Right.
All right, so you're now pulling it away a little bit.
We're going to chop it off with a little bit of extra at the bottom so I can finish up his feet.
Right. Now, if you have any balance issues, by the time you get down to the ankle, you're going to need to be very clear if you're starting to wobble. I'm pretty good at the moment, but I'm also aware that if anyone were to push me sharply, I'd be gone. I'd be over.
I just have to make sure that his
ship hat to make sure his
penis is in the right place.
Yes, you
know. Seems to be.
Let me check.
You know where it is.
Yes, we found where it was.
All right,
okay.
So let's pick a few things up off the bed here, and we will lay him down.
Yep, so back up. Fader
going to do the hood. We're going to use a hood now. So, if you have an emergency, I think you just wiggle your feet. Your feet are free.
Okay, I wiggle my feet if I have an emergency.
You can also raise and lower your head and just tap on the pillow with the back of your head.
Okay.
In these situations, we won't leave.
Okay.
I lost your eyes. I found your mouth. Well, we don't need your eyes anyways. Even better. All right, so we just put a hood on. And this hood has holes for the nose. Is the nose hole in the right place?
I'm going to try and pull gently on the hood. I'm going through the zip of the nose.
There it is.
Ow.
All right, can you breathe?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to try and pull it forward a little bit more.
It's kind of blocking my nose at the moment.
I'm going to pull it down further. I'm going to close the zipper and pull the face down, okay?
There you go.
Pull your lips away.
Pull your lips away.
Are you all
right? I don't know, just there you go.
I've had my finger in there just to protect your lip.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to pull the front. Get your nose clear. Can you breathe, my little subby?
Mm-hmm.
Good job. There we go, better?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Now we've shut him up.
Yes, you have.
All right, I'm going to tie you in to the hood in the back. How are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Good?
Good.
I'm doing all right.
Good. Can you breathe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I'm going to tip Beta Boy back on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be hanging off the end. So what I like Beta Boy to do often is I'll grab him around the middle and I'll have him jump slightly, and I'll throw him back on the bed. This is actually really fun if you're a dom. Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three. Step in your legs, I'm gonna push.
Alright, now I'm gonna go on top of it.
There we go. Right, so now Beta Boy is lying on his back. He's got a hood on and his feet are exposed. His penis is not exposed yet, which will be shortly. Alpha Dom is cutting.
You need my safety cutter.
There we go. There. One penis is exposed.
How many does he have?
One.
Good point.
Okay, so now some of the fun things you can do when they're mummified is what I like to do. One of the things I like to do is you can either ruin an orgasm or denial. You can, stroke your subby until they're going crazy and then just let it go, and there's nothing they can do about it.
You can tickle their feet.
You can paddle the feet gently if you have that okay from your sub ahead of time. You can run your fingers down, as you can hear. It's fun to just make noise on the plastic because they don't really know what's going on. You can poke them in their nipples.
You can also cut a hole where the nipples are.
Absolutely.
Don't cut the nipples.
That's
not a good idea. You can also cut a hole in the anal area if you want to play with that.
Okay. You would, at that point, obviously have to roll them over because they can't help you with any of that. If you wanted to do complete sensory depth, which is something that I enjoy doing, I find it very humiliating and it's very intimidating. And so sometimes with a hood you can actually also put headphones on, maybe use some white noise or a tune of your choice that they may hate, pick whatever you like. Sometimes a blindfold. I like to use a blindfold, as I said before, sometimes panties in the mouth and headphones, and they're just completely deprived of any sensations. And then you can start touching them because they cannot anticipate where you're going to be. And that's really fun if you're really into mind fuckery. What do you enjoy doing, Alpha Dom?
I actually like sensory deprivation, and then so they can't hear, they don't know if I'm there, they don't know if I'm not there. I enjoy just watching them
uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable trying to figure it out. Or even really comfortable, really zen, they go deep inside of themselves.
Definitely. Yeah. And that's okay too. However your subby feels in when they're mummified depends. It's not mandatory to be all stressed out. You can just go into a happy place.
Right.
Which is really good. Alpha Dom just pinched Beta Boy's penis. He was devastated by it.
Yes, I can tell. So what happens if you are sub panics? Because there's always the chance that you think this is something you want, and they're gonna have some kind of bad reaction with it. So the first thing you need to do is release any head coverings that they have, take anything out of their mouth. Off their eyes so that they can see. Mm-hmm. They're still panicked. Have them maybe count down from 10 to 1 to relax. They're not hyperventilating. And then as soon as safe, you can use your safety scissors to release them from the whatever you have them wrapped up in.
Right.
And
that's in the
obviously
mode.
That happens, you need to have some pretty intense aftercare.
Absolutely.
And perhaps we all have triggers in our life. And if somebody panics when they have mummification, then that play maybe. That's not to say you can't try it again, but it might not be something that they want to pursue in the future. Mm-hmm. So. they might want to think about putting that on their hard limit list if that's the case.
Exactly. But you won't know unless you try, and the best way to try is to do it with somebody you trust.
Right.
Because this is a massive trust exercise.
Yeah. Mm. So, Mr. Silva, why do you like mummification?
For me, it's a lot to do with, like I mentioned before, the mindfuck. Mm-hmm. That is a huge part of my dominance, is the mindfuckery aspect. I like that it's humiliating. I like that there is absolutely nothing that this submissive can do.
Yeah.
Male, female, or whatever. Helpless. Completely helpless. They are dependent on my kindness. Mm-hmm. And it gives me such a massive sense of power and strength and dominance when I do mummification.
I always also like the peace and quiet, like obviously not in this situation because, you know, true. We're in front of the camera.
Right.
in front of the podcasting device, but normally I would be very silent, like I wouldn't say a thing. I would touch.
Very good point.
I would
keep
it very quiet.
Very good point.
And then I just like the trust that there is when you do something like that.
Yes.
So that's a big thing for me.
Yes.
Those are the things I can think of.
I like the access also. To the feet, to the genitals, to any part of the body that I happen to want to snip open.
Right, exactly.
And
that's a lot.
It's not a choice, yes.
Yeah, and they can't do anything about it. They can't move, particularly when you have a sub like Baby Boy who's very wiggly. They literally can't move if you do something to them. And I've actually even cut out the butt cheek area in the past and then paddle.
Nice.
And they can't do anything.
Yes. I like that too.
So, Baby Boy, do you have anything to say?
Wait a minute, let me unzip.
I'm
pulling out hard.
Okay.
Okay, you have to understand. Facial hair with a zip on the mouth is often difficult, so be very careful when you do that.
Or not.
Or not. Yes.
I feel good. I like feeling so I like the helpless feeling of it.
How
and I feel really hot now, so it's kind of like it's very submissive feeling.
Okay. So he said he likes the feeling of being wrapped up and helplessness.
Mm-hmm. And he's really
and
hot.
And he's very hot, but he likes the feeling of being submissive.
Yeah.
So, and then he said he really, really loves both of his doms very, very much. And thank you for wrapping him up today. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to get out?
So how are you going to unwrap him, Mr. Silva? Now, the one thing I would say is unwrapping can be done a couple ways. You can either do it really fast if that's in your mood, or it can be done as slowly as you wrap them up, and it can be part of the scene.
Absolutely. It can be very sensual with the way you're unwrapping. You can touch it as you're unwrapping. Mm-hmm. I personally, that's not my thing. I like to just get my hands on the plastic and just rip it apart because just gives me that strength and the physicality. Yeah, I like to use my hands. You can use the safety scissors also to cut out as well, that we talked about before.
Rip away.
All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Baby Boy, you're so sweaty.
I feel so cold now.
And then Alphazon is going to get the towel for you.
Okay,
so I have at this point reached his chest, his genitals, and now I'm working on his legs.
Oh my god, it's so cold.
I'm going to put a towel over him so the sweat doesn't get crazy for him. Last bit.
Alright, so let's help him sit up and then we can take the hood off.
Funny how that a whole part of you is sweaty.
Oh.
How do you feel? Wow.
It's like emerging from a chrysalis or something. It's like I'm looking to see if my wings are on my back.
You are a beautiful butterfly.
No, it feels good. I like how quickly you get really hot.
And one thing I particularly love is all you can really do is look at the ceiling.
Yes.
You can't really look around. So you, for me, that really shuts down my mind.
If we had a blindfold,
right. You can't see anything.
Right.
Yeah. So I find it psychologically very powerful.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, this was obviously very quick because we're doing it for the podcast, right. But normally in a scene, when you're unwrapping the sub might be in subspace or spent some time in it and you do want to do aftercare.
Absolutely.
So whatever that aftercare is for you. And by the way, that's a good thing to talk about when you're negotiating, what aftercare looks for somebody if you're playing with somebody you haven't played with before.
Right.
Because some people want hugs and some people want to be left alone.
Yes.
Some people want just a bit of orange juice or a piece of chocolate.
Thank you.
And some people, if they're triggered, you may have to do some serious aftercare to try and explore what happened and what was it that made that happen. And so aftercare is absolutely critical.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, well, that's the end of our scene in our mummification podcast. And
that was fun.
Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.